For SDPB News, I'm Chris Loffrey with today's Daily News Podcast. State health officials report about 200 cases of coronavirus in South Dakota schools during the first 2 weeks of the new school year. Justin Zeitz is the superintendent of the Chamberlain School District. He says the district is doing what it can to protect students.
Hopefully everybody is going into it with the same mentality of we want to do what's best for our kids and we want to keep those kids in school and in activities. I don't think anybody in education has a different view, and hopefully none of the parents have a different view.
Zeitz says the district is not mandating masks yet, but will if the COVID situation in Chamberlain changes. The district is in Brule County, which has only a handful of new COVID-19 cases all summer. A top South Dakota health official says rising COVID-19 cases are beginning to stress hospitals. Dr. Shankar Kura is vice president of medical affairs at Monument Health in Rapid City.
We're kind of seeing a similar situation as the past, and anytime you have a rising number of cases, it's going to put a strain on the health system. And we're seeing that here. We're seeing that everywhere, actually. Most big health systems are basically having to say, we are full.
As few as 15 people were hospitalized with COVID-19 earlier this summer in South Dakota. The number has recently surged above 150. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration has fully approved Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for people age 16 and older. The FDA previously authorized the vaccine for emergency use. Kura says vaccines remain the best way to stop the coronavirus, including the Delta variant. He says the majority of current COVID-19 hospitalizations are unvaccinated people. The Rapid City Regional Airport saw a record-breaking number of people last month. Patrick Dame is the executive director.
So this past month, we ended up breaking 50,800 passengers, actually breaking 50,000 for the first time ever for any 1 month here at the airport. So it's been a great summer.
That's a 15% increase from the previous record set in July of 2019 with just over 44,000 passengers. The airport suffered a significant decrease in travelers when the pandemic began, but Dame thinks people are ready to travel again. He anticipates even higher numbers this month.
You know, anytime they can go hike in our great parks that we have here, I think that's something that folks feel comfortable with. It's really been great for communities that are tourism-based, like Rapid City here. And, we've seen a very good benefit from that.
Dame says airport traffic is hyper-seasonal and decreases in fall and winter. The airport is still enforcing COVID-19 precautions. Masks are required inside the airport and on all flights. State climatologist Laura Edwards says recent rain is not enough to make a significant impact on the drought.
This week's drought monitor compared to last week shows very little change. And I think part of that is because we are so deep in drought impacts in agriculture and water supply.
Edwards says the state will likely be under severe drought conditions through the fall.
If we were to look at historical precipitation numbers and look how dry we are now, we would need maybe 150 to 300% of average rainfall in the next 3 months to really substantially improve our drought.
National Weather Service records show the Sioux Falls area is about 4 inches below normal precipitation this year. The Rapid City area is 6 inches below normal. State health officials' daily coronavirus report shows new cases are down, but hospitals continue to fill up. There are 439 new cases in the state. That's down more than 30 from the previous day. Right now, 168 people are hospitalized with COVID-19. That number continues to climb after dropping below 20 in June. Black Hills hospitals have the most COVID patients. Fewer than 5% of adult intensive care beds are open. Two more people are dead from COVID-19. The state's death toll is now 2,062. Almost 4,000 South Dakotans are currently infected. That's the highest number since January. The Department of Health says unvaccinated people make up the vast majority of new cases, deaths, and hospitalizations. The current pace of vaccinations remains slow. About 56% of South Dakotans 12 and older are fully vaccinated. One in six working South Dakotans provide care for an elder family member or friend. SDPB's Lura Rohde visits with a couple from Sioux Falls who invited their elderly parent to move in with them this winter.
After his dad died, Dave Herp's mom transitioned from the traditional role of farm wife and mother to that of an independent woman and business owner. At 58, Doris was active and healthy. She fully intended to grow old on the family's farm. And for 20 years, things went as planned. Then one day, a phone call changed everything.
My brother called me at, it was noon on a Monday, and he said, I was just on the phone with Mom, and there's something wrong. She's trying to explain something to me, and she's mixing up her words, and I don't really understand what she's saying. There's something wrong with her.
A medical evaluation revealed Dave's mom had suffered a stroke. It impacted her mobility and speech.
I point blank asked the doctor, can she live by herself or does she need to have somebody with her? And before the doctor could answer, Mom pointed at me and said, I'll go with him. And I thought, okay, so there's an argument I don't need to have with her. And it was really just a matter. I called Chris, and honestly, I thought it would be 2 to 4 weeks.
And just like that, Dave and his wife, Chris, joined the ranks of the estimated 80,000 South Dakotans who provide elder care.
A lot of caring for our elders takes place at home. I mean, there's this stereotype that once a person becomes more frail, once a person needs help, they go to the nursing home. And that stereotype is really a disservice to every family caregiver that is balancing raising children, working, and caring for an elder family member.
Lisi Brown is the gerontology field specialist with South Dakota State University Extension. And she says in South Dakota, it's estimated that some 67 million hours of elder care are provided by family and friends. In Dave and Chris Herp's situation, helping care for his mom was a responsibility they had been planning for, explains Chris.
We've been kind of planting the seed for a few years that, no, you might just want to come live with us. You know, it'd be okay. It'd be great to have you around. Just kind of dropping hints here and there. You know, just letting her know, too, that, yeah, the room is yours if you want it.
The Herps have a spare room, and the couple both have the option to work from home. And although the idea of caring for Dave's mom in their home was not foreign, it has changed things.
Obviously, your lifestyle changes, right? It has to. And you adapt for that. And you make sure that, you know, somebody is almost always here with them. And that means then that it has meant that, you know, we're not maybe able to do all of the things as a family, leave for a weekend or, you know, just do the things, the four of us, or, you know, things like that.
Among the challenges they face as caregivers is making sure Dave's mom lets them know when she needs something.
She's a stoic farmer. Her hand could be cut off and she could be dripping blood all over and she would say, I'm fine. And when she says, I'm fine, that's her way of saying, I don't want to bother you with this. At least that's how I interpret it. So the willingness to sit down and ask sometimes some tough questions and get them to answer you, that I think is a big transition.
His mom, Doris, does not deny this.
Sometimes I'm, a little bit like that. I don't say everything, but no, it's been wonderful here.
Letting others know how they can help can also be a challenge for caregivers. Lisi Brown says creating a list is one way to communicate how others can lighten the load.
So I'm a big advocate for writing down, okay, so what, everything that you're doing, and then figuring out, okay, what could I reasonably ask someone else to do? And then making specific asks. Hey, can you go to Walmart? Here's my grocery list. Can you go buy groceries? You know, oftentimes people like to say, oh, just let me know if there's anything I can do to help. And most people never let anyone know what they can do to help.
Brown also recommends communicating with your employer early.
It's really important to like kind of really outline what you're going through and what's being asked of you. And clearly, like, what you're hoping your employer, how they will work with you to make this family caregiving, the burden a little bit easier. And we don't like to call it a burden because we all love our loved ones. We all want to take care of our loved ones. But we all know that, you know, it it's tiring. It's a lot of work, and it can get exhausting.
Having grandma live with them has changed the family dynamic. But Dave says when he sees their 12-year-old son help his mom steady herself, or their 10-year-old daughter help her put on her jewelry, he knows his mom isn't the only person benefiting from the new arrangement.
It's easy to always think about yourself, but they're starting to see that there are other people in the house.
Because needing help is a natural part of aging, Lisi Brown encourages South Dakotans to begin visiting with their family about how they hope to be cared for so that they can be actively involved in the decision process. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Laura Rohde.
And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.